You're listening to an audio resource from Vineyard Church of the Rockies in Fort Collins, Colorado. We are joining God's mission, transforming all things, and you're invited. To learn more about us and how you can connect, please visit votr.church.
Good morning, everyone. It is great to be together to worship with all of you and to continue to be able to gather in this space. I love starting my week with you, worshiping with all of you, and I'm excited to preach today because we're continuing our series that I started last week called Counter Narratives. You know, many of us realize that throughout our weeks and throughout our life, the world is throwing all kinds of different messages our way. There's a gospel, so to speak, according to this world. And then Jesus comes and offers his true gospel, his true way of life. And so this whole series is then counteracting kind of these worldly messages with the truth of from the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. If we've never met before, my name is Jeff. I'm the lead pastor here at the Vineyard. And I just want to start by reminding you what Jesus said in John 18, verse 36. This is kind of the overlay for this entire series. He said in John 18 that my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. There's earthly kingdoms, and then there's a heavenly kingdom. Jesus came, of course, to establish his kingdom on earth. That's why we pray over and over and over again, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. But we have to recognize and understand, he said that his kingdom is not of this world. And so last week, I talked about one of the cultural narratives that's kind of in our bloodstream and in our life stream of our culture, the phrase rise and grind. Rise and grind, that if you don't wake up and attack your day and dominate your day and outpace and outwork everyone else, you're already falling behind. So you have to get going. Otherwise, what's the point? What is the point? That, of course, begins to erode at your heart and your life, and you begin to experience burnout and anxiety and stress. But Jesus came to offer a different way. He came to liberate you and offer you freedom as you surrender your life to him and learn what it means to have a life with Christ. Now, you may be here this morning and you may have been adjacent to church, or maybe you've heard messages similar to this before, but you just realize I've never actually started a life with God, or I've been in the world. I've not surrendered my life to Jesus. If that's true for you this morning, we're so glad that you're here. Vineyard, I feel like, is a great place for you to explore what it means to have a life with God. But I want you to know on the front end that every Sunday we invite people to give their life to Jesus for the very first time, to truly create an ongoing relationship that starts with that first-time commitment. And if you've never done that before, by the end of our time together this morning, we'll give you a chance to make that decision. And I just have to say, life with Jesus is just, that's when life works best. When you live connected to him and in a surrendered state to the Lord. But until that time, we're going to be looking at a new cultural narrative this morning, one of the world's messages. And today's message is simply titled, Comfort is King. Comfort is King. And who doesn't love a little bit of comfort in their lives? Right? Of course we do. Of course we do. Comfort is good. We all love comfort. I mean, I would imagine that you're a lot like me, that we all board an airplane very similarly, that when we get on the plane, as we're finding our seat and buckling in, we're also simultaneously offering to the Lord God Almighty just a short little prayer, God, help the person who's going to sit next to me make this a more comfortable trip, not a less comfortable trip. I just got on an airplane this last week, and this is a prayer that I am constantly praying as I'm moving through the airport. Dear God, help me. 2 hours in an iron box up in the sky. Make it comfortable, Lord. Make it comfortable. And we live in a day and age where you can just spend money to become more comfortable. Like this, I mean, anything good in America gets monetized, right? Caleb Maskell said that at the last boot camp. Anything good gets monetized. And so now if you want a little more comfort, all you have to do is just spend a little bit more money. You move up a few rows and get in one of those exit aisles where your feet can just kind of sit all the way out and you experience a little bit more comfort. If you don't like your bed sheets, there's always a set of bed sheets with a higher thread count that you can buy. And of course, the higher that thread count, the more money you're gonna spend. And so what is it that you really want? You can always spend more money on more comfort. In fact, you don't even have to grocery shop for yourself anymore. You don't have to go out to eat. You can pay someone money to do that for you. And in the comfort of your own home and couch, they will bring those groceries to you. What a day that we live in. It's incredible. There are all kinds of things fighting to be king in your world, and comfort is definitely one of them. Just this last week, really in sermon prep, I don't know if it was sermon prep or if I got sidetracked and my ADD kicked in, but I got on my little device and I Googled the best, most comfortable Christmas gift ideas that I could buy for someone. And I was shocked actually at how many things came at me. But I have to say, you know, there's one person who seems to always have a list around the holidays, and that person is Oprah, and she has done it again. If you need to know some ideas, Oprah's got it figured out. Oprah knows best. She's got 50 of the most comfortable Christmas ideas that you can buy for another. And when I was looking at the list, some I will admit we already have at the Faust House. You may have some of them too. But I was like enthralled. I was like, yeah, who doesn't want a coffee cuff that stays at the perfect temperature no matter how slow I drink my coffee in the morning? What an amazing gift. Like a fool, I've been sitting on the couch, and when it gets cold, I have to walk to the microwave and reheat my coffee, but there is a cup that will keep it at the perfect temperature. Comfort, baby, comfort. There was another one, and we do have this one at our house. It's like a neck pillow that's weighted, and it wraps around your neck and shoulders. It even has a scent to it when you warm it up. It just, and you place it on your back, it just melts the stress away. It's amazing what that little thing can do, and we will pay money for it. We will pay money for it. Then I saw there's like devices now. You've heard of the Roomba that vacuums for you and you don't even have to get up. There are devices that will cut your grass for you now. And I can't wait to get one of those. I mean, I really can't. I'll just be sitting on my patio in the heat of a summer day, enjoying a cold beverage, watching a robot cut my grass. And I thought, this is the life. This is what happens in 21st century America. Now, I don't have one of those yet, but I do have 3 children, and they're pretty good at cutting the grass still. So I'm like halfway there. I'm halfway there. No, comfort is king. Comfort is king. And I've realized, my dad just visited, and he's a little bit more sequentially advanced than I am. And I realized there's a big difference between like his shoes and my shoes. This is what I've learned. Apparently there is an age, and I don't know what the age is. I'm not there yet, but my dad is. There's an age where you don't care about what your shoes look like anymore. You just want them to be the most comfortable things you can put on. In fact, if you don't even have to bend over to put them on, that's the best kind. So the Skechers commercials, those are real. Like where you just like slip in and you go. I will still buy shoes that are a little uncomfortable if they're the look that I want. And I don't think that's that shallow actually, because I've seen people wear stilettos and you can't tell me that those are comfortable either. But there comes a point apparently in your life where you will just pay money for comfort. This is a real thing. This is a real thing. But the truth is, I think we all know this, right? We all know this, that as much as comfort is nice, we all know that comfort is not king. We all know that. And the problem with this narrative, though, is that it's so obvious that it's easy to dismiss it. It's like, well, of course comfort isn't king in my life. Why would I let comfort be king in my life? But comfort is king. It's one of those little lies that kind of sneaks in on your heart. It kind of sneaks in on your life. And over time, little by little by little, it grows a little bit more in your heart until the time where you realize, man, I've just been like living this convenient little life and I've not been stretched at all. Comfort promises you better and even a more convenient path to like deep things like spiritual maturity. But that comfort betrays you actually. It keeps you from growing into everything that Christ has created you for. Deep down, of course, we know that special thread counts and pillows will eventually fail and new clothes will fall out of style. And if I put a bunch of money into a kitchen renovation, those things will eventually fail. Even the most relaxing and best vacations, those memories will soon fade. And it doesn't mean that we don't spend money on those things. Of course we do. We enjoy those things, but deep down, we all know there's something more to life, something deeper and more meaningful in our pursuit than just comfort after comfort after comfort. You can't buy enough things to help you find the peace that Christ can offer. You can't buy enough things to counteract the way and the pace that you live at throughout your day, especially if you're just rising and grinding all day long. It's not that you do that so you can somehow earn comforts and delights in your life. Comfort is not king. Jesus is king. And as followers of Christ, we have to seek first the kingdom of God above all else. Now, what's really interesting about a life with Jesus, and what's really interesting about pursuing everything that God has for you, about pursuing God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, is that sometimes in the scriptures, Jesus does offer you incredible comforts and a peace that's you know, you can't even comprehend a relationship with him that reorients your entire lifestyle. And then at other times, Jesus promises you that life will actually get quite hard and will at times even be uncomfortable. There's still pain and sacrifice, even promises in the scripture about hardship. And you're left to think and wonder, well, how does all of this fit together? How can he promise peace and comfort and hardship all at the same time? I mean, how does that work together? The first thing that you have to know is that when Jesus is king, your life does get blessed. When Jesus is king, your life gets blessed. But here's the tension, because we're gonna look at two scriptures today, and both can be true at the exact same time for a follower of Jesus. The first is a wonderful promise, and the second promise is harder. And both of them live in our lives. Both of them live in our hearts simultaneously. And I want to read them both this morning because I actually want to create some of that tension for you. I don't want to solve it. I don't want to solve it because there is a big difference between being blessed by God and being surrounded by comfort. There's a difference. There's a difference between being blessed by God and surrounded by comfort. Look at John 14. Verse 26 and verse 27. Now, this is towards the end of Jesus's life. He's really kind of, really towards the last day of his life, and he's gathered his disciples together for another teaching, kind of one last big teaching, and he's talking to them about what's going to happen after he's crucified and buried, comes back to life, and goes to heaven. This is one of the best promises, I think, in all of Scripture. John 14, 26 and 27. Jesus said, "But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything, and he will remind you of everything I have told you." Verse 27, "I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid." The promise of Jesus Christ is that he will give you the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you, who will always be with you, who can fill you from the inside out. And that word advocate that I just read, it means helper or counselor or comforter. And so no, comfort is not king, but you are promised a comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will give you peace that the world cannot offer, a peace that you could never buy, and a peace you couldn't even curate if everything was in its place in your little environment and everything was the way it was supposed to be. It's his presence that we seek, not a product to purchase. And only he can offer you this true comfort and peace. This is what it means to live the blessed life. This is what it means when Jesus is king. This is what naturally comes your way when he's the king of your life. You get to experience real blessing from God. So that's the first passage, right? This beautiful promise that his presence will always be with you and never leave you. And yet there's another passage. I said I was gonna read two and they were gonna create some tension. Because the blessed life from God can also include hardship. If you turn now to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 8, you see a little bit of a different kind of passage. Now in Matthew 8, in this particular time, people were coming to Jesus and they were declaring their obedience to him. They're saying, "Wherever you go, Jesus, I'll follow you. Wherever you go, I'll always be at your side. I'll always be with you." And this is what Jesus said in Matthew 8, verse 19 and 20. Well, someone came to Jesus and said, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." But Jesus replied, "Foxes have dens to live in and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to even lay his head." In other words, sometimes the animals have it better than Jesus. Sometimes the animals have it better than Jesus. Sometimes it was better for foxes and birds than it was the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. And Jesus is saying to us now the same thing that he said to his disciples. I do promise you the Comforter, but I promise it because life with me will sometimes get uncomfortable and you will need the Holy Spirit to be with you. I mean, this is such an interesting kind of juxtaposition that Jesus creates. And if you just look at our life right now, like, I'm not sure if you know that this is like a real thing that happens in humans' lives. Maybe some of you do this. I'll be praying for you for the rest of your life. But did you know that there are people who actually leave the comfort of their home and go up into the mountains and sleep on a cold floor under the trees and the wind and the elements in a thing they call tent, and they enjoy this? It's called camping. You know, people do this. It's very strange. It's very strange. I mean, Natalie and I, we used to camp. We used to, in fact, our wedding registry was the Target for like all the things that we needed, and REI, because we thought we were gonna be like wonderful backpack campers, and we were gonna go up into the mountains and like do this thing called camping. And then we grew up a little bit and we realized there's something called Airbnbs with hot tubs and a nice bed, and you can still like be in the mountains and look at the stars and enjoy a nice glass of red wine while you sit in the hot tub and relax and enjoy comfortable things. This is real. Now, I've gone on a camping trip with my son Kingston. It was a fishing trip. It was a ton of fun. And I remember like taking a break in the middle of the day and sitting on rocks to take a rest and thinking about Matthew 8. And think, I don't feel any closer to Jesus right now. I know he said that there's no rock for the Son of Man to lay his head, but I feel very far from God in this instant moment. Like, I mean, God bless you. I know you understand it. Some of you love it. Some of you love camping. It's a new word in the dictionary, I think. I'm not sure. But these two passages, I mean, if you think about both these passages and the life and the teachings of Jesus, it's really interesting. It's especially fascinating in our day and age, in 21st century America, when comfort is being sold to you in constant fashion. More devices, more electronics, more things to take the edge off of your life, more comforts to ease your pain. I mean, listen, 21st century, there's like not been a better time to live than now. And yet still, we're spending all kinds of money and all kinds of time trying to seek a comfort that constantly eludes us because we're not going to the Comforter to fill us. Two scriptures, and one of them promises that you will receive the Comforter and a true peace, a peace the world cannot give. And yet at the same time, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head. And it's our calling to model our life after his. That's what we're invited into. To shape our heart, to shape our life, to shape our existence, to follow this great example. And I love that Jesus walked in perfect peace even when he was financially poor. I love that Jesus knew perfect comfort without epic vacations, without podcasts telling him how to guard his peace, no Instagram influencers or YouTube subscriptions that he could adhere to teaching him about inner contentment. He just knew how to stay connected to God even when things were hard. He knew how to abide in the vine. He knew how to stay close to his Father in heaven and to have the Holy Spirit moving in and through and all around him. I mean, my prayer is that that would be true for all of us. That it would be true for all of us. One of my biggest prayers right now, just personally and as a church, I would invite you to pray this prayer with me, is that this place would be known for the presence of God in a unique kind of way. So that when people would come and people would worship, that they would truly experience the kind of peace that we're promised in scriptures. Especially if you're like my age or younger, one of the growing narratives is that we're just overwhelmed. The stress and anxiety of our day and age, it's chaotic, and we don't have that kind of resting posture of peace. What would it look like if we could be a church that was so in stride with Jesus that when the younger generations came in, said, "This is what my heart has always been yearning for. This is what I've always craved." And we could experience prayer and small groups and boot camps and prayer ministry in the back. When someone lays their hand on your shoulder and asks for the comforter to come, he would actually come in a manifest kind of way, and stress and anxiety would begin to melt away. Imagine a church like that. Imagine a prayer ministry like that, where the Spirit of God was resting on lives and transforming each and every one of us. This is a promise that we have, even in the midst of trouble, even in the midst of pain, even in the midst of challenge. It's a blessing from God. And that blessing doesn't mean that life gets magically perfect and comfortable. It just means that he'll always be with us. His presence will never leave. This is so important. Being blessed from God, it offers true peace. Offers true peace to all of us. But again, being blessed by God is different than being comfortable. It's different than being comfortable. And that's so important for you to hear. I just want to say it over and over and over again. I even want to say it annoyingly so much that it's annoying this morning, because being blessed from God is different than being comfortable. It's so important because in over pursuit of comfortability in your life will actually stunt your spiritual maturity. In over pursuit of comfortability in your life will stunt you spiritually. When comfort is king, your maturity gets delayed. It gets delayed. And athletes know this to be true. Athletes know this to be true. If you do the same workout over and over and over again, your body gets used to it, and the workout gets easier because you're getting stronger, but then you eventually hit a plateau, and you have to shock your system, and you have to flip your workout upside down to kind of get you out of your comfort zone to get to the next level. Even P.T. Barnum from The Greatest Showman, which is a great musical, by the way, if you've not watched it, he said in that musical that comfort is the enemy of progress. And that's kind of prophetic in a way for us this morning, because if you move through life just always seeking the next level of comfort, and it's comfort after comfort after comfort, you'll eventually be lulled to sleep by the culture. And the world will take your money to kind of pat your back and swing you sweet lullabies until you fall asleep in its arms. This is what the culture wants to do in your life. We avoid growth all the time because growth is challenging. It's often hard. You have to get out of your current comforts, which are wonderful. But you have to break free from some of that in order to chase the spiritual maturity that God's always invited you to experience. And if you don't, again, that over pursuit of comfortability will always lead to spiritual immaturity. So I just want to get really practical for just the next few minutes. I want to get really practical and maybe a little bit direct with you as well. Because anecdotally and definitely in scripture, as I was praying this week, I was thinking about all these different things. There are just time and time again, biblically and in the lives of folks that I'm around and get a chance to pastor, there are three key things that I've always noticed that when you're pursuing comfort, these three things suffer. And it's giving, growing, and going in the name of the Lord. Those three things suffer time and time again. And again, listen, comfort is good. We can pursue and enjoy comforts for sure, but it's the over pursuit of comfort that keeps you from these things. It keeps you from giving and growing and going in the name of the Lord. Comfort keeps people from giving all of the time, all the time. I've had numerous conversations with people that sound something like this. Well, Jeff, if I give 10% to the church, then I'll have less to spend on myself. And I always say, that's pretty good math. That is pretty good. It's not like when you start giving to a church that God magically zaps your bank account with extra zeros and you all of a sudden have this surplus to live by. No, actually, when you give to the Lord, you are sacrificing. It is a gift and an offering to God. And biblically, you know, 10% has kind of always been this biblical standard for how you can start when it comes to generosity. But it is true that you'll have less to spend on yourself. That is good math. But it's also true that in the kingdom of God, it's better to live a blessed life than a comfortable life. It's better to live a blessed life than a comfortable life. And I would rather be in the flow of God's blessings than keeping everything for myself and restricting God's movement in my life. The overpursuit of comfort keeps people from giving all the time. And when we don't offer God our first and our best, we often miss out on his blessing. But I also said growing. I also said growing because the overpursuit of comfort will keep you from growing, because it's often the things that compel you forward, that jolt you out of your system. You have to leave something behind in order to step into the new thing that God's inviting you into. And that can be painful. It can be painful. It's often challenging to fast and pray. Have you ever gone without food? It's very uncomfortable. Who enjoys doing that? It's very uncomfortable. At first, it's quite uncomfortable to wake up 30 or 45 or 60 minutes before you normally do so that you can spend time with the Lord, just you and him alone. After time, a rhythm gets established, a discipline gets created, but at first, it's very uncomfortable. And then think about interpersonally. It's way easier, at least at first, it's way easier to ignore that painful conversation that you know you have to have than to just be bold and have it from the start. But these are the kinds of things that help us grow. They're the kinds of things that help us grow. I love the language in Proverbs 27:17, where it says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. In order for iron to sharpen iron, there's a lot of effort that comes behind that. There's a lot of scraping and pounding and working against one another so that you can work out the imperfections and you can work out the dullness so that it can be sharp. Your blade can be sharp again and eliminate those deficiencies. I mean, that is an uncomfortable task. And I love that scripture uses that language because it's the exact thing that you need in your life in order to grow. Our staff does this all the time, and it's always uncomfortable. It gets easier, you get more used to it, but it's always uncomfortable. We'll sit together on the first staff meeting of every month and we'll correct what needs to be corrected and we'll celebrate what's worth celebrating. And we'll just ask each other what went well and what didn't. Tell me, give me feedback on how I can improve. Tell me what is the best thing I bring to the team and what's the biggest area of growth that I need. Have you ever had a conversation like that in your small group or in your work? I mean, those are very uncomfortable conversations because you just say it and you have no control over what they're gonna tell you, and then you have to work really hard at not being defensive and just hearing it. I mean, the last couple of months, I took three of my recent sermons and I put them in an email, and I sent an email out to three pastors from around the nation who I really respect and I trust. And I said, here are three of my sermons. Can you watch them? And then can you take notes on what I'm doing well and how I can improve? And then let's schedule a 1-hour Zoom meeting. And I just want you to tell me what I'm bad at and what I'm good at. You know how awkward that is? It's very awkward. It's very uncomfortable, but you put yourself in that place because the goal of growth is greater than the goal of comfort. It outpaces the value of comfort, and so you're willing to subject yourself to awkward and uncomfortable things because you desire to grow. And time after time after time, if all we're seeking is comfort, our growth will really slow down. And finally, I said going. And I think this is just true. I know it's true in my life and in many of the lives that I surround myself with. If all we do is we seek comfort, it will frequently keep us from going in the name of the Lord. We won't share our faith because it's hard to do that. We won't invite a neighbor to church. We won't pray for our classmate or our friend because we don't like what potentially that social discomfort could look like. It's easier to skip those things. It's easier to not give up a Wednesday night to serve teenagers in our youth room. It's easier to not wake up early on a Sunday morning, earlier than you normally would, to come and pour your life and give your life away to the next generation in our kids' ministry. It's easier to not invite your friend to church or pray for your neighbor just in case it gets a little awkward. And it's good that we would do those things. We kind of all know it's good to do that stuff. We kind of all know that our life is supposed to be a living testimony to God's goodness, that we're supposed to be sharing our faith and inviting other people to experience the same freedom that we've experienced, but it can get a little awkward at times. And if we're over-pursuing comfort over and over and over again, we'll often skip the step of faith God's inviting us into. Really, when you look about this, in terms of discipleship, when you look at this and you just have an honest conversation, you realize pretty quickly that time and time again, the Bible's offering you a trade. Following Jesus is just marked with all kinds of opportunities for you to consider a trade. Will you trade comfort for maturity? And stepping out in faith and stepping out into the unknown, stepping into the challenging things that God has for you, will you trade all of that? Will you trade monetary comforts for eternal impact? I mean, this is a real trade. We should at least recognize it together. It's a real trade. But it often takes trading financial comfort, trading interpersonal kind of comforts, trading social or calendar comforts or quote, me time, right? Trading that away in order to experience a kingdom impact. And we're not saying comfort isn't nice. Like, a blessed life from God is often marked by celebration and feasting and enjoying one another's company. Of course it is. And when those things come, we should rest in them and enjoy the comforts that God has sent our way. It's the over-pursuit of these earthly comforts that we have to fight against, because they'll keep you from eternal significance. And God has more for you. God has more for each and every one of you. God has more for this church, a more real and more authentic and more blessed life, because comfort is not king and never can become king. Jesus is king. And being a follower of Jesus, that means that we model our life after his. It means that sometimes there's no place for us to lay our head, that the animals have it better than us, yet we're surrounded by the comforter himself. It means that we'll watch others keep all of their blessings for themselves when we're called to give and sacrifice. It means that we're willing to do the hard things, the risky things, because this is a trade that has eternal consequence. Trading temporary comforts to receive the eternal comforter. Trading what soothes us today for something that lasts for eternity. Maybe the question God's asking all of us this morning is, will we make those kinds of trades? Are we ready to pay that kind of price and lay our life down before him again and again and again? Let's pray.